Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to be talking about a subject, my goodness, almost every day I encounter, not quite every day, but almost every day I encounter conversation regarding energy. People are concerned. What are we going to do? Well, we've got one source of energy that has been available since time immemorial, to the best of our knowledge, and that is wind. And so we're going to be talking about wind power today. And my guest is Christopher Gillis. Welcome to the show, Christopher.
Oh, thank you, Donna. Thank you for inviting me to your show.
Wonderful. Now, Christopher, I'm going to ask you to be sure to speak up loudly because your voice is coming across a little soft.
Okay.
You have had an interest in wind for a long time. You were really given that magical spark to make it more of a life's work when you were in Belgium. Where are you located right now, and what happened in Belgium?
Well, I was back in about 20 years ago, 1988-89, and I was a foreign exchange student in Belgium, and about still 16, 17, and, you know, when you're that age, you don't have quite a lot of interests yet. You may have some that are in the sports area, but I had always had an interest in history and was introduced to a family that was involved with preserving Belgium's windmill history. And they happened to operate a working windmill. And so I went along and visited the windmill, and next thing I knew, I was visiting others and spending a lot of time seeing how they worked and talking to the millers themselves. And so it just sort of stuck from there, and I came home with that knowledge, and it just continued to grow.
Now, you've got a foreword in your book by R. Nolan Clark, who is an agricultural engineer associated with the Conservation and Production Research Laboratory with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the Agricultural Research Service out of Bushland, Texas.
Yeah.
And Texas is one of the windiest places around, and they're one of the most progressive states with this. But before we get into a little bit of that, I liked his foreword because he got into history a little bit. He said that there were four distinctive periods of development with wind power. Can you go into that a little bit?
Yes. In regards to the history that Dr. Clark had laid out there, he let me first give a little explanation on who Dr. Nolan Clark is. He started studying wind for the USDA about more than 30 years ago. During the oil embargo, when that kicked in, the government became very interested in the possibilities of wind energy. So he, again, he was asked to take that on. He was actually a engineer in hydraulics. So that's how he got started. Then, basically, so now that I've kind of explained who he is, basically, we'll talk about the four periods within the U.S. First, we had the expansion into the to the Midwest in the mid to late 1800s. And when the settlers moved out that way, there was a problem with getting water to ensure that agricultural needs and just human consumption needs could be met. So you had the development of mechanical wind systems that you see. You can still find examples of them in the West. And then again, we moved into the 1930s, 20s and 30s, when farmers were looking mainly to have a piece of the action in terms of having access to electricity to power the radios and power maybe an appliance or two, like a refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
And as they were not on the national grid at that time, they turned to the wind, and some of them bought commercially built power systems, and some built their own, actually, quite simple. And then, you know, after the around World War II, there was some experimentation going on with regards to wind energy, and again after the war, the interest sort of died down. And then again, it was the oil embargo, the Arab oil embargo in 1973, that really returned the interest into wind energy. And so, again, we've had our ups and downs with wind energy interest between the 1970s and up until late 1990s, and then until we hit that period, then it just sort of it took off. I mean, there was an interest in mainly starting with the environmental concerns, and again, as we crept into the 2000s, fossil fuel prices began to increase, and that really propelled, I think, the wind energy business to where it is today.
The Europeans really have been the leaders in this. Now, in today's world, it is going, I mean, it is global. We have wind turbines in Brazil, in Chile, on islands in different parts of the ocean. We have it on Australia. Just about every nation in the world is catching up with a type of technology. And some of the stuff, I mean, your book, Wind Power, is absolutely incredible with the photography that you have, both of historical basis as well as the current commercial development. It is just awesome. Let's talk about Europe a little bit, because there are a number of countries that have really, really done well, and Denmark is the first one that comes to my mind. In fact, one of the leading manufacturers of wind turbines is located in Denmark. There's also manufacturers out of Germany, Spain, some in the United States, Japan, India, and the Netherlands, and electric power, wind electric power production, according to what Dr. Clark said, it has been increasing at about 25% per year since 2002, which is making it the fastest growing power generation technology.
Sure.
So this is quite interesting. Now, what made Denmark come forth? And let me just interject something here. As a kid, the first association I ever had with windmills was with Holland. That was just a magical association when I was growing up. I didn't have a clue of the history of the windmill because it didn't start in Holland.
Sure. It's, Denmark, I know it's interesting that you talked about Denmark being a leader. Actually, back in the 70s, probably the United States and Denmark were both neck and neck in terms of interest in development, and both governments, the U.S. government and the Danish government, put a lot of funding into wind turbine development. Unfortunately, when we went into the Reagan years, there was the government's interest in wind energy started to wane, and programs with then the Department of Energy had started to get basically a stranglehold on their funding in this area. So interest and knowledge and development sort of limped along. Whereas in Denmark, the government just went full tilt into wind energy. And so the government actually helped in terms of developing, it put its scientists and engineers into developing wind turbine technology that was effectively work. There was a lot of experimentation in those days, so wind sometimes got the proverbial black eye. But as it evolved, companies that were starting to come up on the scene then, like Vestas, which is one of the biggest international players today, were able to use that technology that was developed through the laboratories of the Danish government and put that into commercial development. And so Denmark really took off. You had Germany, which became a country that really used wind energy in a very big way. And ultimately, up until quite recently, they still are the biggest users of wind energy as a country. But the United States now is catching up to Europe. So in terms of implementing this technology and putting it in and using the wind energy generated electricity into the power grid. So the U.S. is catching up now. So
I found it fascinating that Germany has a 20-year feed-in tariff for renewable energy sources, and I'm quoting directly from your book. They're some of the most lucrative in Europe with a guaranteed payment of four times the market rate for traditional electric power. Mm-hmm. And Spain has really gotten involved, but it's amazing the implementation of this, the technology that's going into it. Let's go back a little bit into history, because as I mentioned a moment ago, I had always associated windmills with Holland, as I think just about everybody has in the past, but there's quite a bit of history. They really don't know where the windmills came from, do they?
No, it's quite, the history gets rather fuzzy when you get back that far, and there's a lot of direction in the historical research that points to Persia, and actually in the area of along where the Iranian and current Iraq and Iranian border is. So and also in the Afghanistan area, and so it's again they can still find these types of windmills that were implemented early in early civilization. And then again, how it got to Europe and how Europe's development of it and really took off in Europe, how that all took off, there's still a lot of question there as well. I found the history to be a bit fuzzy. Sometimes some people are more authoritative on how they believe it happened. But again, when I got into it, I found that there was a lot of gray areas there, and I tried to be sure to explain that there were some disconnects with regards to what we see in kind of the European model that it's all in our mind, as you said, the Dutch windmill. So, but again, some of the definitive history dates it back to the 1100s and British Isles and also in Northern Europe. But again, it could have been in other places as well, but the historical record is quite sparse.
Here in America, there was a man by the name of Andrew Cochran who erected a 22, and this was in the 1800s, 1894. He erected a 22.5-foot diameter windmill on top of a 150-foot tall tower, and that windmill required 6,000 feet of pipe between the pump and the reservoir that was below ground. And this was just phenomenal for their era. The water poured into a 65,000-gallon holding area, and they were able to fill it in 2 days because they had a windmill.
Sure.
The windmill is a marvelous, marvelous device. It can be used for pumping water, for generating electricity, for grinding grain, so it could be used as flour. I mean, there's so many different applications. In fact, the U.S. government, from what your material states, issued more than 3,500 patents for wind machines between 1790 and 1950. Do you know what the numbers are for today?
That's the patents were for the water pumping type of windmill that we're familiar with out on the out in the Western Plains or along in farms and ranches that we see out there. So again, on the I'm not sure what the numbers on patents are for the electric generating windmills. That was for the water pumping windmills, the American style.
Pioneers.
But I can tell you this about the water pumping windmills is that there were hundreds at one time. You had some that were back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. You had many players building these windmills, these type of steel structure, again, American-style windmills, pumping water. Over time, again, you had the changes in the economy, electrification through power lines, and so water was pumped in different ways. So the windmill manufacturing sphere had shrunk significantly to a handful of players. The windmill, I think, in the water pumping side, is kind of the unsung hero of this era of focus on the electric generating wind turbines that we're aware of, the large ones, and large and small. But there's a renewed interest in the water pumpers as well, out on as people set up small ranches and want to make sure their cattle is properly hydrated. And so you're seeing a return in that. And also, which is interesting to me, is this technology that was developed here is still sought after in developing countries such as in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was just at the air motor plant down in San Angelo, Texas last week. And this is the only company left that builds these windmills full-time. There's some that it's part of a line of products. But this company, this is what they build, and Aeromotor was around, it's been around 120 years, and they were in the process of putting a large shipment to Tanzania there when I was there. So,
my.
Yeah, so it's very interesting to see how that business is picking up. And, again, it's that... How can we take something that can be freely obtained from the air and make a capital investment in a technology, or hopefully a reasonable price, capture that wind, and turn it whether into mechanical or electric power? So it's pretty interesting to see how some things don't change.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the American windmills we know is still something that's viable.
Absolutely. Now, you have information historically on two men that really believed that wind power and electricity made very, very good partners. Charles F. Brush, he was the founder of the American electrical industry and wind energy. He was a pioneer in the 1800s. It was tough because people didn't want to buy into it. But also, and you may correct me, please, if I do not pronounce his name correct, the Danish wind energy pioneer, Paul Alur.
Lecour. Yes.
Lecour. Paul Lecour. He was a man that was so far ahead of his time. My goodness, here were two men that had the vision. And
well,
here's Denmark, one of the leading demonstrators. I mean, they've got all their energy supplies pretty much taken care of so that they're selling their oil and some other things. It's just amazing for this small country to have accomplished that
Sure.
so efficiently.
Well, it's interesting, you know, again, there's a connection between the U.S. and Denmark in this whole history of electric generating wind power. Now, both of these men, Charles Brush, who lived in Cleveland, Ohio, and Paul Lecour, who was in Denmark, I mean, both of them were, like I said, were ahead of their time, but again, creating the electricity the way they were doing it was probably quite impractical for, you know, average power generation at the time. So it was costly, it was big, it was clunky, and they were also probably considered a bit wealthy eccentrics as well that could afford to do that. Now, fast forward to 2007-2008, to the connection between Denmark and the U.S., you have the both governments looking at how they can having their laboratories work together, the National Renewable Energy Laboratory here in the U.S., and also the RISO Laboratory in Denmark. So both are focused on renewable energies and are now collaborating on ways to, what they can do in the future to improve wind energy technology, make it more, even more efficient and more cost effective. I think that's a big thing going forward is, again, keeping the eye on cost effectiveness.
Absolutely. There were two brothers, Joseph and Marcellus Jacobs,
yes,
that built a company, the Jacobs Wind Company, and I loved the photography that you have in your book, the photographs,
yes,
about the Jacobs Wind Electric Plant constructed at Admiral Richard E. Byrd's Little America camp in Antarctica in 1933. And it was still operating until 1955, and they had found through their own R&D the spruce wood propellers. And in that extreme weather environment, I wouldn't expect that the wood would hold up. I really wouldn't have. But obviously it did, because they used an aluminum paint.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes. Well, the Jacob brothers were quite interesting, and I think they play such a phenomenal a role in the development of small wind power systems for home and small business and farm. And the brothers were actually quite clever. One of the people that were a person who was a big help in working on this chapter with me actually worked with them as a young engineer. So he knew Marcellus Jacobs, one of the brothers. And so it was, they actually took the three-bladed propeller. They figured out that the three-bladed propeller would hold up better than the two-bladed propeller, which was basically widely built out there at that time. And it would hold up, I mean, take the most rigorous conditions. And they found that it was, in regards to the propeller, it always stood ready to work because if you take a three blade propeller and turn it, you're going to have one blade's up and two blades down. And so, if it's interesting, if you look at today's successful wind turbine technology for the large scale wind turbines, even they're three bladed. So it's interesting to me. I mean, again, that's probably something that it's kind of lost in time there. But I really do think that they again, we're ahead of our time, showing that something on a small scale, again, prevails on even large scale today, so that the three-bladed concept is still quite practical. So
here we are in today's environment. People are concerned more and more about how are we going to pay our bills, and, of course, innovators, which is typically the case when the need arises, they say, how can we make something better? What can we do?
Sure.
And to make it available to the average individual, it's sort of like dealing with solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
For most people, it's way out of range for their pocketbook, for their home budgets. It's just not comfortable. They're not going to have $50,000 to $100,000 to put out, and they may not want to take out a loan for that because
sure,
it's going to take a long time to recoup it. You give some interesting information because there are small wind units. But they say that if you were to put one in your home, the average 10-kilowatt wind system, energy system for residential use costs between $35,000 and $50,000.
Sure.
There's a higher capacity one that could cost between $45,000 and $60,000.
Sure.
That's a lot of money. And many
sure
people would say, especially in the situation with the way the economy is presenting itself at this time, they're going to say, why am I going to go and spend that much money on that? Why am I going to do that? Now, many different states are offering incentives. I'm in the Pacific Northwest. There are very significant incentives here, but it's not something where you're going to get your money back all that quickly.
Sure.
It's going to take a while.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to the person listening today that might be interested in having something like this? I mean, your book is a marvelous, marvelous resource, Christopher. But how do they find out about what is available as for the consumer? Is there something out there for the consumer that's more reasonable?
Well, there might be, but the ones I focused on were proven turbine technology that's been around. The companies have been in the market for a while. They're leaders in the market. So again, they know their products work. And so that's what pretty much is going to be charged. I think the most important thing going into getting into a small wind power system is you really need to go in this with your eyes wide open. I think with the current flurry of information out there and this drive towards wind power, you got to look at this as a very much a long-term investment. You really need to do your homework. I think there are a lot of upstarts in the industry that may not have technology that's quite proven yet, and you could sink a lot of money into it for basically being a guinea pig.
Mm-hmm.
And come up finding that the system was not what they promised it. So I think you really need to look at, do your homework, look at the players that have been in the market, find out why they've been in the market, and talk to people that, ask them for references, talk to people that actually have their systems. And again, I think one thing we have to realize too, that wind is just, it may not be best for everybody in every location. I think some areas it's going to work more effective than others in this country, particularly in the Midwest, around the coastal areas. But again, you really have to do your homework because it is a long-term investment. But if you're in an area where the wind is sufficient, you have a good system put in place, and you're tied to the grid so you can sell back to the power company power that you're not using.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can make the system pay itself back fairly short order for a system that should be able to last up to from 20 to 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I take the approach of going at this thing again with eyes wide open and do your homework, because I think some people. You'll probably see some people get talked into putting systems up that really got really talked into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really important.
Well, I agree with you, and I would just say the states that you have, there's a U.S. wind farm map that's in your book, plus wonderful information about offshore usage for wind, the places around the world that are utilizing wind power, and again, your photography in here, your illustrations are absolutely fabulous, and
thank
I just
you.
Think.
Well, I have to really thank the industry associations that I've had contact with, because they were just wonderful to deal with. The Global Wind Energy Council in Brussels, the European Wind Energy Association, and also in Brussels, of course, the American Wind Energy Association is just doing a phenomenal job, and they were just wonderful to work with. And also, many folks within the industry itself, there's such an excitement in the industry, and so many people that are just knowledgeable and were just willing to share their time, because without them, this book would have just been a lot of history and not much about what's going on now and going forward. So I'm extremely grateful to those people who took their time with me, because, again, it's something they didn't have to do. And they shared their photos with me and their time. So that's really what made this, I think, book successful in my mind.
Well, I think it's a marvelous grouping of alliances. It's tremendous information that will assist us. Is there a website people can go to? I know we're just about out of time here for our chat.
The book has a lot of detailed websites that people can go to, but they could also, if they want to purchase the book, they can acquire it through Amazon.com or by going to the publisher's website, schifferbooks.com.
Yes, and that's S-C-H-I-S-S-E-R, shipperbooks.com. Christopher,
yes.
Thanks ever so much. Keep up the good work, and keep us informed.
Yes, and thank you kindly, Donna, for having me on your show. It was I'm really truly honored and grateful to have spent time with you today and allowing me to discuss wind energy on your show.
It's been a pleasure. You have a wonderful life, and, you know, if you get another book out, you've got to send me a copy.
I will certainly do that, Donna. Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher.
Okay.
This
bye-bye.
Is Donna Siebel. The book is Wind Power. If you want to know about what's happening in the world, all over the world regarding this, a must read. Christopher Gillis, G-I-L-L-I-S, with a foreword by Dr. R. Nolan Clark. We're going to take a break. Hey, we're going to be coming back in just a moment. Got a lot of good things to share with you. Plus, the phone lines are going to be open, so don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, give me a buzz at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. Now, if you're a first-time listener, welcome to the show. And if you'd like to call in and chat with me, all I need is your first name or your initial. And then after that, of course, I love to know where you're coming in from, what you're calling in, where you, what part of the country or the world you're calling in from. And then let me do what I do. I consider myself an information resource. And then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that might cross your mind. This is a mental discipline. I had someone call me earlier that had heard me somehow in Arkansas, and they said it has just really been very meaningful to certain people here because of the way you do what you do. And they said, we don't understand it, but we find that it's a very useful tool. And I want to thank those people there for being able to pass the word of the show around to their friends and to their family, because it belongs to everyone. That's something I say to people. So frequently, there will be these attitudes about anything when the word psychic comes up. And it's really sad, because the word psychic comes from psyche, which is Greek meaning the soul. We all are endowed with this, believe it or not. Male, female, doesn't make any difference. The animals have it. I mean, it is just everywhere, ever-present. However, to utilize it so that it becomes a resource that is going to be usable, it is a discipline. And some people, it comes more easily to than others, but if you want to use it, you've got so many wonderful books that are available for you. And, of course, you can always call into the show if you have a question about an experience that you've had. I don't know it all, but I'm happy to share with you what I do know, what I do get in the way of perception. But it is, again, it's a resource. You could take all the psychic ability in the world and put it in one room, and it wouldn't be worth a plugged nickel. Now, this is my attitude. The reason I say it is that if we can't use it, if it can't be applied in a practical, everyday, living way, so what? Who cares? And that's my positioning. Since the first time I became aware that I had talents in this direction, that is one of the things that I said to my then mentor. I said, I just don't care if I ever see a spook as long as I live. It doesn't make any difference. If I can use this to help people in their lives, if I can use these skills and talents to make the world a better place on one level or another, that's meaningful to me. But just to be able to do readings, who cares? What's the big deal about that? Phooey. She said, congratulations, you've graduated. I was in my 20s at the time. And it is important to recognize that, I think, because when people will say, well, only certain people can do this, or you can't do that unless you go through this mumbo-jumbo stuff, look, these are talents, abilities. It's sort of like being able to play basketball or to run or play the piano or an instrument or maybe have a knack at cooking or whatever it may be. It has to be refined. It has to be developed so that it's something that's really usable, that's going to have value. And like anything else, the more practice you have, the more you read, the more you learn, the better you're going to be. It's just a fact of life. So, again, Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. I just love the resourcefulness of individuals because they'll come up with ideas. Various people will say, I know how to do something better, or I know how to save money over here. And here are some, well, I've got about five tips in front of me that I thought was really great for the gals. Actually, it can be for the guys. And if you have family, it can be for young, middle age, old. It's knowing how to shop. Yes. And we gals especially have a propensity for it, and we're always looking for bargains. So these tips I thought I would pass along to you. You know, if you really want to have a basic wardrobe, something that is going to be workable for you, then look for discounted racks of jeans, tanks, and t-shirts. Yes, we're at the end of summer. Fall garments now are coming out. Lots of stuff is on sale. Major stores are having super big sales, especially with this holiday weekend coming up. So just check them out because you may be able to get some marvelous, marvelous buys. And they will literally be usable year-round, but more than that, you'll be able, if you want, to give away the stuff that you don't want anymore, give it away to maybe one of the thrift stores in your area or a woman's organization or men's organization, whatever avenue you choose to give your stuff away to, but you have to have some room for the new stuff, don't you? So go ahead and do that. Also, there's something about shoes. There's a lot of sales on shoes. Of course, during the summer, lots of times, for the gals especially, they like flats. Well, you can find a lot of these on sale, so look for them. Also, I found out about some things I didn't know about. If you're looking for a special item, let's say you gals saw a dress, maybe at a major store, and you go, oh, I love that dress. Well, go to a particular website. It's called shoppingnotes.com. Shoppingnotes.com. And you can plug in information about the store and the item that you want, and they'll give you email alerts if the item is on sale, if it's been reduced. Don't ask me how they know or how they manage to do this, but they do. Also, you can comparison shop. If you found something that's got a designer label on it that's out of your budget, you find that $10,000 dress that would just look gorgeous on you, or that suit for a special guy that would just be wonderful, Well, go to shopstyle.com, shopstyle.com, and you'll find about the retailers that carry these wonderful designer items, and you'll be able to find out who's going to give you the best price. Also, you can get a personal shopper at Shop It To Me. That's S-H-O-P-I-T-T-O-M-E, shopittome.com. This is what they'll do for you. You plug in your clothing size, your shoe size, and your favorite designers, and they will send you emails letting you know when items from your favorite places go on sale. This is incredible. Shopping online in this way, amazing. Then, there's a lot of discount stores that restock their inventory several times a day, so you might want to find out when any particular items you might have an interest in, a jacket, a dress, a suit, whatever it might be, when it's been put on the floor. What's been put out recently? It is amazing what you can find. So just keep your eyes open. Keep your wallet and your credit cards tucked away and just have fun with your shopping, because you might be able to find exactly what you want that's going to look super spectacular on you, make you guys look super handsome, the kids super sharp, because you've taken the time to shop. Who would have ever thought we would have these options available to us on the Internet? I don't know how people find time to do all of this stuff, but they do. And I think it's awesome. So there are some wonderful choices for you. ShoppingNotes.com, ShopStyle.com, ShopItToMe.com. Wow. And who knows what else. But those are just a few. So I hope that helps you if you're gearing up. This always, I know when my daughter was growing up, this was always a favorite time of the year, this particular weekend and sometimes during the summer months. But there'd be great sales, wonderful, wonderful bargains. And when my daughter was small, the stores had, like, layaway programs, and some of the stores still have them, and you could go in and you could get the items, put it on layaway. You didn't even have to use a credit card. Tuck them away, pay so much every week, and then, by golly, then you, when you took it out of the store, it was paid for. Took a little bit of planning, but that way I never had to worry about anything on my credit card. So just another little tip for you right there. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break in a moment, but before we do, I want to let you know that we are going to be talking about the nonverbal advantage, all about body language. How do you read people? Well, body language is a wonderful tool to be aware of. It's not an absolute, because sometimes people develop certain habits. But how would you like to know if someone's lying to you? Good resource to utilize. Well, we'll find out about that and more. Tomorrow, Carol Kinsey Goldman is going to be my guest, and we'll be discussing that at length. Now, on Friday, I have got a travel itinerary as well as on upcoming Monday, so you're going to be hearing the best of Donna. And then we're going to, next week, can you believe it? We're coming into September. We're going to talk about some interesting items with Cal Ori out of California. We're going to be talking about the man who predicts earthquakes and also the healing powers of oil and vinegar. Fascinating combination, don't you think? And then we're also going to be discussing the encore effect with Mark Sanborn. If this is something about the principles in life, what you can do to make a difference, the magic box, this is a delightful fable, Egan Sanders is going to be my guest, and then we're going to be talking about a very well-known sports figure. He was known as Chief Bender, an American Indian that went on to make sports history, and we'll find out about him next week, too. Tom Swift will be my guest. We've got a wonderful lineup of people during the month of September, and I hope that you will take time to go into bbsradio.com and find out all about it. Meanwhile, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to find out how you, if you're looking for someone, how you may be able to track them down on the Internet. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. By the way, phone lines are open should you want to call and chat with me, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, and 530-876-3222. I do want to mention to those of you who are in Alaska, I will be up in Alaska about the 14th of September. I'm going to be in Fairbanks as well as Anchorage. I also will be in California during the month of October and Tampa, Florida. So this and San Francisco during the upcoming month. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot happening. And in my upcoming newsletter, there will be the itinerary and the information about the scheduling, about where I'm going to be appearing. Of course, the microphone is going to be traveling with me, and no matter where I go, the shows still go on unless I'm in a plane flying. I haven't quite figured out how to do it from the air. The planes are so noisy, you couldn't do it that anyway, and it's just ridiculous in cost. So we just have to wait till we get down on the ground to be able to do a show. So this Friday and this Monday, I'm reminding you, we are going to be doing the best of Donna since I am going to be in the air flying. I will not be able, no, and it's not on the broom, folks. I'm really going to be in a plane. My husband teases me about that all the time. Anyway, I will be back on Tuesday. Tomorrow, we've got a wonderful show. Do not forget, we're going to be talking about body language and how to read other people effectively and accurately. Well, I wanted to share with you how, if you were looking for someone, you could find them via the internet. So many people enjoy doing research on family members, and they'll find out who was born where. The internet is a huge resource. It is a wonderful library open to all of us. What makes it even more magical is that there's a personal touch, and I've got a very special story to share. But this is what I wanted to give you in the way of details. You can go to whitepages.com and type in the name of anybody that you're trying to find. Just go to whitepages.com, and they may, usually, they'll come up on there. Also, there is another website that you can find out about different databases that Google cannot access, and I'll it's PIPL.com, Pipple, that's how I'd pronounce it. P like Paul, I like Ida, P like Paul, L. And then, here are some others, and I know that those of you that are listening are very savvy with this, far more perhaps than I am. Facebook.com, MySpace.com, and Friendster.com. There's adults that are using this. Apparently, when it started out, the younger people were using it quite a bit. But everybody is getting on the line here. And you may be able to connect with old friends, find different people. And also, there is MySpace.com that has made a great impression on a lot of people. And there are more than 20 million professionals that have registered with LinkedIn.com to network with people in their fields. That's called LinkedIn.com. Also, if you've got photos, you're trying to find someone that belongs to a particular photo, wink.com can find them. That's W-I-N-K, wink.com. And blogs. My goodness, there are so many people that are doing blogs just from all over the world. In fact, there are 200 million that we know of, 200 million that keep weblogs. And so you can type a name into yoname, yoname.com. Also, if you know what kind of work a person does, you can go to zoominfo, zoominfo.com for a list of anyone that will be associated with a particular profession. And you'll be able to, perhaps just through the type of work that they do, narrow things down. Now, this came to my attention because of a story that came to me regarding two sisters. One sister name was Charlene Sweeney. She's an American. And the other one is Audrey Davidson. Now, the story is a wonderful, wonderful story. Charlene opened up a package that had been sent to her, and inside this package, she found a sapphire ring, just as beautiful as any ring could be, and with it came a note, and this is what the note said. Now, each of Elizabeth's daughters has a ring of hers. And she was just astonished to find out that she had a sister. She didn't know she had a sister. What happened is that her mother was 17 years old when she got pregnant, and she had to give up Char when she eventually remarried and she had children. Nobody knew about this child she had had to give up for adoption when she was 17. Well, many years passed, 50 in fact. The mother, Elizabeth, was on her deathbed, and she then let the family know about this child that she had adopted out because she could not take care of this baby. So she said, "This is amazing when I find out." Now, both of these children grew up 11,000 miles apart. They were raised very much in similar patternings, even though they didn't know anything about each other. Both of them were raised in families of four children where they were the eldest. Both were very loved, and their moms even dressed them the same, and they were both blondes with curly hairstyles, and I've got the photos in front of me. So here they are, they become acquainted with each other, and they became acquainted with each other because of using Google, and she found a link called missingyou.net, missingyou.net. And that site was put up by United Kingdom Adoptions. Well, Char knew that she had been adopted in the UK, so she typed her name into a search box, and a message popped up that said, "You were born May 13, 1952. Your mother was 17 and forced to give you up. I'm your sister, and I have been looking for you." Amazing, isn't it? Would never have dreamed that this would be possible through the Internet. Well, because of email, because of cyberspace, they were able to communicate. And they just absolutely were letting those emails fly through the cyberspace waves. And when they finally had a chance to meet, they found how much they actually had in common. So here are two sisters that were connected because of the wonderful resource of the Internet. Very positive aspect to it, I think. This is Donna Sebo, and I know that we're out of time. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life is going to bring you some wonderful adventures. Be ready for them. When I say be ready, be open. Don't be afraid of change, and don't be afraid of something positively wonderful. It's just around the corner waiting for you. Life is that rich? Yes, it is that good. Donna Sebo here. See you here tomorrow at bbsradio.com. Same time, same space, and same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.